Well, thank all of you for being here this morning. We're so thankful for our visitors. Eric Jr. is here with us. And Brandon and his family is with us again, and we love that so much. We're so glad to see you, Brandon, and those girls. And we're glad to see all of you. Glad that Bill's back with us. He had a little stomach flu there for a couple of days. He's back with us and doing a great job singing, too, leading our singing. I always ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles, follow along with me. I don't want you to take my word. Don't take any man's word. Only the Word of God. So search the Scriptures daily. And I do encourage you to look at our website, www.pvchurchofchrist.com, and you'll find lessons on there about any subject you would ever need to look at. And if you need help, please see me or one of the men after church, and we will be glad to set up a meeting with you and a lesson study anytime you want to. Those who are not Christians here this morning, I plead with you to pay very close attention to this lesson. This morning we're going to go into more depth of Saul's conversion that we see in the book of Acts. I'm going to take it slow and easy as to make sure everyone knows exactly what the Bible says about yours and my salvation. This morning's lesson does and will affect your salvation and where you will spend eternity. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts the 23rd chapter. The lesson this morning is entitled Saved Like Saul. Saved Like Saul. Now, one of the most impressive and important events recorded in the pages of the New Testament is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later called the Apostle Paul. Three different times it is detailed in the book of Acts. We read the inspired historical account of Saul's conversion in Acts 9, verses 1 through 19, this time told by Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And the last two times, the accounts are told by Paul himself in Acts 22, verses 1 through 16, and Acts 26, verses 8 through 23. And by combining these accounts, here is what we learned that Saul did for salvation. By putting these events in chronological order, we have a listing of the events connected with that conversion, and we can see if there are not some vitally important lessons that we may learn from it. To begin to understand the conversion of Saul, we must first examine what we know of his life prior to our knowledge of him. Saul's hatred of the new sect, or the Christians, had already been aroused. That he not only despised their crucified Messiah, but regarded Christians as being both politically and religiously dangerous. He persecuted them with a misguided conscience, and believing in persecuting them, he was rendering the highest service to God. Acts 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So you see, Paul thought and he believed that he was serving God by persecuting Christians. Now Paul, or Saul, was born in the city of Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. He was a student of Gamaliel. He was a Jew. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He was raised up in the city of Jerusalem. And he was a tent maker by trade, and was someone who had attained a certain amount of respect in the Jewish community of that time. Now, when Stephen was martyred, Saul was there to hold the cloaks of those involved, for he was in agreement with what they were doing. That is in Acts the 7th chapter, verse 58 to chapter 8 and verse 1 is where we see that account. Now, I wish you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8 for just a moment, please. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Saul persecuted the church with zeal unmatched in the New Testament. He went to other cities to stop what he saw as destruction of the nation of Israel by what he saw as heretics. Heretics are unbelievers or non-believers or dissenters. In Acts 8 and verse 3 it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." He went in, he rounded them up, and he put them to prison or killed them. Now, it is on this trip that we begin to see the conversion of Saul. Since there are millions upon millions of preachers teaching that Paul was saved, mind you, on the road to Damascus, but let's just see what really happened on that road to Damascus. The first thing we need to note is that what brought Saul to that road in the first place. Saul and the other men were on their way from Jerusalem to Damascus with authority from the high priest to bind Christians and to bring them to Jerusalem for punishment. Now, I want us to take our time and look at all these scriptures and understand them since our salvation is at stake. Now, about noon, a bright light out of heaven shone upon Saul. Turn to Acts, the 9th chapter, and we'll begin with verse 3. Acts 9, verse 3. In Acts 9 and verse 3, puts it this way. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now Saul fell on the earth, and he heard a voice saying in verse 4, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' Saul answered and said in verse 5, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the voice responded with, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' Trembling, Saul said in verse 6, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?' And the following answer was given Acts 9 and verse 6, 'Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.'" Now turn to Acts 22 and verse 10. We'll be coming back between Acts 9 and chapter 22 quite often. So you might hold your place in Acts 9. Now from Acts 22 and verse 10, it was told to him, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." One of the first things that you may notice is when you look at this moment when the gospel was first being introduced to Saul, who the speaker was. It was our Lord and Savior, the very one who Saul was persecuting. Who else would have a chance with Saul? Anyone else who would have tried to talk to him surely would have been put to death or in prison. He had persecuted others many, many times. Now I want you to know something very important just here. In these two accounts, chapter 9 and chapter 22 of Acts, we learn that Saul was to be told in the city of Damascus what he must do. He was not a saved man at this point. Saul was now blind, and he was led by those who had accompanied him into Damascus. Now then, what really happened in Damascus? Well, Saul went to the house of a man named Judas, who lived on a street called Straight. For 3 days, Saul was without sight. He did not eat or drink. He spent his time in prayer. And I want you to note something here, that this prayer was not the thing that saved Saul. He was still a lost man at this point. Now let's go to Acts 9 again. Now Ananias, a certain disciple, was told by the Lord to go into Saul, and after a little hesitation, he did as the Lord commanded him. Let's look at Acts 9, verses 10 through 16. Here we're told, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Lord, I am here.' Lord, and the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Just a note here, a note of interest. Verse 13. This is the first occurrence of the term saints in the New Testament. And it designates them as men of holy living or disciples. Saints means the same as those who call upon thy name. Paul used this expression and addresses his six epistles to those who were called saints. Now, Paul goes from a time of being a persecutor to a life of persecution. You remember some of the things that Saul or Paul suffered for Jesus' namesake? Well, the Lord said he would. So let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at one of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When we get there, let's begin with verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now listen, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day, and I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Then he goes on to say, beside those things that are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all churches. These are just some of the great things that he suffered for Christ's sake. And as we read the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, you'll see the things that he suffered besides these. I think you get the point. This is just some of the things he suffered. So I ask you to please read your Bible, study your Bibles. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9, if you would. And verse 17. When Ananias came to Saul, he said, Brother Saul, that doesn't mean he's a Christian. Brother there just means he's a brother Jew. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul did receive his sight, but still was not told what he must do to be saved. Now, come back with me to Acts the 22nd chapter. Acts 22, verses 14 and 15 says, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, that's Jesus, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. I want you to notice here that the Lord appeared to Saul in order that he might be an apostle of the Lord. Why, brethren? Why? Because Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22 states that an apostle must be a witness of the resurrected Christ. Saul was now a witness, for he saw the Lord after the resurrection. Come with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, for a moment. Verse Now later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul would write in verses 8 and 9 the following. And last of all, he was sent of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. The reason Christ appeared unto Saul was to qualify him to be an apostle. The specific purpose of the appearance was not, understand, it was not to save Saul. It was to qualify him to be an apostle. Now the Lord had told Saul that what he would be told in Damascus was what he must do. Going back to Acts 22 and verse 16, if you would. In Acts 22 and verse 16, familiar passage to most of us, we find Ananias saying to Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul was not saved before this, or before he was told to be baptized to wash away his sins. He was not yet saved. He still bore his sins. They had not been remitted or washed away at this time. So simple is the command and so great is the reward. Now think about this. Here was an ailing sinner who was told to quit praying and get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. In all the cases of conversion recorded in the book of Acts, not one time was an ailing sinner told to pray to be saved. So what happened is simple to see. Saul was baptized. How do we know? The Bible tells us back to Acts chapter 9. In verse 18. Very simply, it says, he arose and was baptized. So that there be no mistake about it, brethren, this baptism to which Saul submitted in humble obedience to the will of the Lord was by immersion. How do we know that? Well, Paul himself tells us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Now later the Apostle Paul would write in Romans 6 beginning with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, listen now, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice Paul wrote here, we are buried with him by baptism. Saul himself was immersed in water, buried, if you will, to have his sins washed away, the way our brother Eric did a few weeks ago. This was the thing that Saul must do. I hope you can see that. I hope you see it. Understand now, he was not sprinkled, he was not poured upon, he was buried or immersed. And after baptism, Saul took food and was strengthened, and there you have the chronological or account of the conversion of Saul. Now Saul displays the nature of faith plainly. God said it, he believed it, and he obeyed it. So why won't people do that today? Tell me why 95 to probably 98, maybe 99% of the denominational world today teach that baptism is not essential to salvation. I'll never understand it. Never. It is so plain. It don't hurt. I just don't understand them. Right away, Saul begins to preach and teach about Christ, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, saying in Acts 9 and verse 20, He is the Son of God. Now I ask you, do you see that Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus? I hope you see that. Let's just take a moment or two and consider the consequences of saying that he was. So if Saul were saved on the road to Damascus, can I suggest to you first that he did not know it, for it was Saul himself who said, What shall I do, Lord? So he didn't know he was saved. May I suggest to you as well, if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, the Lord didn't know it either. For it was the Lord who said, Rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Lord didn't say, There isn't anything you need to do, Saul. No, he didn't. No, he said, Rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do to be saved. And let me also suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, neither Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, either Luke or the Holy Spirit didn't know it either. For they recorded the facts. They say that Saul was told to be baptized and wash away his sins, as we read in Acts 22 and verse 16. It doesn't take a genius to know that if he was saved before that statement, then his sins were already washed away. I wonder why so many preachers refuse to preach what is so obvious, or why they deny what is so obvious. I wish they'd tell me. Again, let me suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, then the Lord misled him. For the Lord said, Saul, there, meaning Damascus, there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. But that was not so if he was saved on the road to Damascus. Again, I hope you see it. Again, if he was saved on the road, he was saved without doing what the Lord told him must be done. And let me suggest to you too that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, he was terribly miserable for a saved man. He was blind and he didn't eat or drink for a period of 3 days. Now think about this. Isn't that an unusual reaction for a man who just had the weight of his sins removed from him? And finally, let me suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, Ananias didn't know it either. For it was Ananias was the one who went to him and told him what it was that he must do. So let's see now if we might summarize what we have seen and studied and better understand how Saul became a Christian. The foremost characteristic of this case is the fact that Jesus himself was the preacher. It was his word proclaimed that his appearance in the miraculous light that made Saul a believer and brought about repentance. He believed, he repented. Then faith came, as it always does, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But even while Jesus was the preacher and while his words to Saul caused him to believe and repent, there was still something for the sinner to do before he could find the peace that comes from forgiveness. And for information concerning this, the Lord sent him to Damascus instead of giving it to him himself. So while in the city of Damascus awaiting this information, even though he was suffering the most obvious pains of penitence, even though he pours out his heart in prayer, his sins are still unforgiven. Every honest heart must recognize that this shows that forgiveness does not come immediately upon faith and repentance. As millions upon millions of preachers this very day around the world are preaching that we do not have to be baptized to be saved. And they're preaching that false doctrine of saved at the point of faith, or point of belief. They're preaching that today, that you're saved at the point of belief. All you got to do is take Jesus into your heart and you're saved. No, that is not what Saul was taught. That's not what we are taught in the book of Acts or anywhere in the Scriptures. They can't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. Saul stayed this way for 3 days. Why? Because no one came to tell him what to do. That's why. Saul did not know someone to send for him. Neither Ananias nor any other disciple would go near Saul if left to themselves. They were afraid of him. But a divine act was necessary. The Lord sent Ananias after speaking to him. Thus a human messenger is made to tell the sinner Saul what to do, even after the Lord himself had appeared to him, and the human messenger helps him to do what he is told to do by what? By baptizing him. That's what. I hope you understand. So when he is baptized, and not before, his grief and fastings are at an end. His sins are forgiven. And the story of his conversion ends. When he is baptized, and not before, his grief and fastings are at an end. His sins are forgiven. And the story of his conversion ends. I hope you can see that, my friends. How clear and simple God's plan of salvation is. Saul's life gives us a unique opportunity to look at a Christian and his behavior in close detail both before and after his conversion. Saul epitomizes the nature of true repentance. We can learn many more important things from the life and conversion of Paul. He was one who understood and who lived a simple life of a Christian in a tough time, trying to obey the simple commands given unto him and placing his ultimate trust in God. Paul was open and he was forthright, his faith never shirking or hiding from it. Paul would rather have let his own freedoms be curtailed than even to risk offending his brother in Christ. But he was not one who would hide from controversy or let sin and worldly ways invade the church. Remember what he told the Galatians in Galatians 4:16 when they didn't like what they heard? He said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" That's what we do, brethren. We tell the truth. Saul was saved after he believed in Jesus. He was repented of his sins, and he was baptized for the remission of his sins. Later, Paul would teach by inspiration that baptism puts a man into Christ. I want you to come with me to Galatians 3 and verse 27 for just a moment. Very important. Galatians 3 and verse 27. Paul wrote in Galatians 3 and verse 27 these words, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. Do you need to be in Christ? Yes. If you're not in Christ, you cannot be saved. So there's only one way to get into Christ where you can be saved, and that is through baptism. That's exactly what Paul says here. And Paul would also write that baptism puts one into the one body, not 20,000. The one body, which is the church. And we read about that in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 and other places. When one obeys the word of God, in other words, does what he must do just like Saul did, then the Lord adds him to the one body, the church of Christ, according to Acts 2:47. Let's read that. Acts 2:47. The church is established here. There was only one true church. And the Lord, verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You can't join the Lord's church. You can't join the Lord's church. You are added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself when you rise out of that watery grave. He then adds you to His church. That's it. We would do well, brethren, to reconsider our own ideas and actions and see if we are truly are the example Paul wanted Timothy to be. You remember 1 Timothy 4:12? We can look at that. 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul wanted Timothy to be an example. He wrote in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity." Brethren, we have to be examples. And if we're not, no one will. Why? Because we're the only ones with the truth. Christians are the only ones with the truth. Possibly one day, and I want you to come with me one more passage, if you would. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 7. One of my favorite passages, and I think it's probably one of yours too. Possibly one day, we too can have the faith to say, as Paul did when he was about to be executed. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That was when he was about to die. I hope I will be able to say those words when I am about to die, and I hope you will too. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So let me ask you now, my friends, are you a Christian? If you haven't done what Saul did, then you're not a Christian. Will you obey the simple New Testament teaching and then work and worship in the undenominational church that Jesus built? Won't you be saved like Saul? Saul heard the gospel. Saul confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. And Saul was baptized. He was saved from his past sins when his sins were washed away. Won't you obey these simple commandments and become a Christian this very morning? We're going to stand in a few moments, and Bill's going to sing the invitation song. And when he does, I want you to think about the way Saul was saved, because that's the only way you can be saved. Don't let this opportunity pass you. You may never get another. You may not live till next week or Wednesday or whenever. So take advantage of it now. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.